Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Mark Driver at Rathvinny Vineyards in... Oh, what's the name of the town?
Alfriston.
Alfriston,
yeah. Alfriston, East Sussex.
Alfriston. It's got a nice wee noddy trains or something like that on the way in. There's a big... Kiddies Park on the way in is
there is there's an old amusement place up on just off the A27 called Drusilla's.
Excellent. We're not here to talk about them though. We're here to talk about Rathvinny. A wee while ago I spoke to Richard Evan Thomas, and he was talking about how you guys are setting up the vineyard, but you're the man behind the business. Mervyn King was quoted just recently saying that people enter the financial services industry to leave the financial services industry with a big wad of cash. You were in the financial services industry. Now you're setting up a vineyard. It sounds like he was right. Is that a fair comment?
Well, not necessarily for myself. I really enjoyed my time working in the city. I enjoyed my job. I was very lucky to work in London and in Hong Kong. I then moved into running a fund with a friend of mine, and we set up a successful fund management business, which we ran for just under 10 years. But you know, after 25 years in the city, you either become too old for it, or you find that you want to do other things. You have other interests and you want to pursue, and that was really the case for myself.
Okay, and I presume wine's always been a passion. Well, that's what it says on your CV on the web.
Yes, it has. I did various wine courses in the mid-80s, which I really enjoyed. Learned a lot about wine. Grew really my interest in wine and my knowledge about wine. And then when I was in Hong Kong, we went down to New Zealand, and we spent a long three-week trip driving around New Zealand. And that's really when the whole idea of possibly opening up a vineyard and owning our own vineyard really started. So that was in 1990. We've had lots of children in between times, and that didn't really fit with our plans, really. So that's when I stopped work in the end of 2009. The whole idea really sort of started again.
Okay. Well, you can hear the cars in the background. There's quite a few of them. There is a working vineyard now. You're planting up today.
Yes. Yeah, we started planting 2 days ago. So we're now in our third day of planting. We planted about 24,000 vines in the first 2 days. We've planted a mixture of Riesling, some Pinot Meunier, and we're now on to Pinot Noir. So we've been planting Pinot Noir all yesterday, and they'll be running Pinot Noir pretty much all today as well. So we've got about 25,000 plants to go in of Pinot Noir. And then we move on to the Chardonnay, probably on Thursday and Friday.
Before we get to where you are now, so you got your passion for owning vineyard in New Zealand, quite a good place to get a passion for owning a vineyard. Why did you decide to go to England instead of maybe buying, you know, Tony Lathwaite, a very famous man in the UK, just bought his third vineyard in Bordeaux? You could have just gone into France and done the same thing. Why England?
Yeah, it's good. It's a very good question. I've still got very young children who are relatively young children who are still at school age. I didn't really want to uproot them and move them overseas. And also, I looked at what's happening in England and the English wine market and got quite excited. I think that we are now with, one, the climate change, which is affecting our weather. You can see that we're sitting outside here. It's only the end of March. You know, the weather has improved in England. We've had a marked increase in average annual temperatures. We're now getting decent enough weather when we can really ripen our grapes to a level where we can make some decent wines, particularly our sparkling wine, and that's what we're aiming to produce. I think the other factor that got me really excited is, from a business perspective, England is a fantastic place to start producing your local wines. There is a trend and a movement towards locally produced, locally sourced food and drink in England. In a way, we're going to be fulfilling that local demand. We're now producing some of the best sparkling wine in the world. We've got a good fair wind behind us, I think.
What was your journey? So you decided, you bought the land about 18 months ago. So how did you start? Did you just hire a Savills, for example, and say, find me some agricultural land? Or did you get some consultants in? Or, how, you know, what, very briefly, how did, what yeah, was the steps that you took yeah. to get to where
well,
you are?
In the summer of 2009, we decided that we were going to stop at the end of that year. So I knew, you know, that I what I then started working out what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to invest in some land, and I was looking at viticulture. So yes, I spoke to three different agents in London.
Who were they?
Land agents. Well, Knight Frank, Savills, and Stratton Parker, and they were looking for land. In fact, only one of them followed up really and was conscientious, and that was Stratton Parker, so give them a bit of a plug. But
yeah.
They went out and they put a lot of different options in front of us. We were ideally looking for something around 250 acres, and the brief was that it's got to be on a slope, south facing, with free draining soils.
Mm-hmm.
That was the brief that went out. And I preferably wanted something in southern England, and to be honest, I really wanted something on the Downs, on the South Downs. So we looked at a few places, but they didn't really have the agricultural buildings. It's quite difficult to build agricultural buildings in the UK. And planning permission is actually quite difficult.
Okay.
So that's been quite a journey for us. So the first one we looked at, which was a really lovely piece of land in Hampshire, unfortunately, we had to decline because they didn't have enough space. They didn't have enough buildings. And then this piece of land came up for sale late summer 2010. And we were in Spain at the time, actually on holiday, and the agent called me and said, I think I found the perfect piece of land for you, Mark. So I looked on Google Earth, and sure enough, it's just fantastic. It is simply the most ideal spot. It's the perfect spot. We have 600 acres of south-facing slopes, which literally run from the lower slopes go run down to 20 meters above sea level, and then we run up to right at the top about 110 meters. So mm-hmm. we've got that sort of slope, and it runs for about 2.5 kilometers along a river or dry river bed called Cradle Valley. And it's, as I said, all south facing. It's on a decent slope, but it's not too steep, and it's good agricultural land. It's been a good production of cereals and cereal crops and arable crops over the years.
You found the land. When did you enroll in Plumpton?
That was...
you're doing a winemaking course at Plumpton.
That's correct, yes. I'm doing what's called a foundation degree in wine production. So it's the beginning of the BSc. I've decided I'm not going to do my full BSc the third year. I'm just going to do the first two. And I was looking on the internet for my daughter for a course for university, and I found that you could study viticulture in England. I thought, well, viticulture in England, this is brilliant. So I phoned them up, and I went down to Plumpton College and checked it out, and it's just a fantastic course. It was just perfect for what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Because although I had, I've drunk an awful lot of wine, and I love my wine, I didn't know enough about it, really, to be competent to be able to really help and direct people who I knew I'd have to employ to really, the experts to employ to run them.
It's more about asking the right questions, isn't it?
Exactly. It's having that knowledge, that base knowledge, that you can, exactly that, ask the right questions. So, literally, I put in my application the day before the deadline. I think it's something like 17th of January or something in 2010. So I then started in the late September of that year. So I'm now in my second year at Plumpton. And the first year is brilliant because it's all about viticulture. So you spend your first year learning about, how to plant, where to plant, soils, botany, and you go through an extensive and very intensive chemistry module, which you have to do, it's compulsory. So you go back to school and you learn all your proper chemistry again,
yeah.
Which is quite amusing after about 30 years, not studying chemistry. And that's really to set you up for the next year, because in the second year, you're really learning about winemaking. So it's perfect for me. So I was able to learn all about the viti, which I needed for the planting and the buying of our vines, the land. We had to do projects on the land. And you really get, you're in the vineyard in the first year, one day a week. So you're picking, Then you're pruning, you're putting in fencing posts, you're putting in trellising. It's very hands-on, and it's an ideal course.
Excellent. And you have tied yourself in with Plumpton, haven't you? Because I've read somewhere that you've bought a new building for them or something like that.
Yeah, not single-handedly. I've donated some money, or we donated some money to help build what's going to be the Wine Research Centre at Plumpton. So it's going to be called the Rathfinney Wine Research Centre. And it's my belief that in any good wine growing area, there's always a really good university behind it. Mm-hmm. And that raises all the skill levels. And that's what's happened with Plumpton. You know, if you think back 20 years ago, English wine industry was really making ghastly wine.
Yep.
It was dreadful.
Yeah, some of it's still pretty bad.
There's some really good stuff. A lot of it's very, very good. But then that's the same with any wine-growing region in any part of the world. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it was pretty ghastly. Now, you know, two things have happened. One is we've had climate change, and the improvement in the average temperatures has meant that our growing degree days are now comparable with parts of northern France and even parts of New Zealand. So, you know, we've got the temperatures now where we can ripen the grapes. What we didn't have is we didn't have the skill levels.
Yeah.
So we were keen to really put some money into research at Plumpton to make sure that they were going to be able to take that on. Because there's a hell of a lot of research done, but it's all done in warm climates. There's very little done in cool climates. You know, what grape varieties and what clones are really going to work well here? What techniques you can use to improve the quality of your wine, not just your sparkling wine, which we're very good at, but also your still wine.
Yep.
So that's the sort of thing that we were very keen to do and to invest in. And if you look around the world, you know, and obviously there's France, you've got Reims, and you've got Bordeaux, which have got good research-based universities mm-hmm. for wine. In Australia, you've obviously got Adelaide, you've got
Roseworthy.
You've got, you know, if you go to California, you've got obviously UC Davis, you know, which probably is the premier research university for wine in the world. And I was very keen to put some money into Plumpton so that we can get the research out of Plumpton to really look at the cool climate vineyards.
When did you make a decision on planting? So you've got the land, you started your Plumpton College 2010. When did you have to make a decision on planting it? And when did you buy the land? 2010?
Yeah, we bought the land in, we finally completed in October 2010.
So you'd been going to Plumpton for about a year by then?
No. I'd been going to Plumpton for a month. it was hilarious. I told
Chris Foss,
yeah, he's a lovely guy. He's, you know, he's the man behind the success of English wine. I told him that I bought some land, but I didn't really tell him the full details, and I think he was probably quite busy. It went in one ear and out the other. And there was this hilarious incident where he came into a lecture where we're all there, all our year group were all there, and he came in waving a sheet of paper saying, "You'll never believe this, but somebody's planting 400 acres of land in Alfriston, just down the road. I told you there'd be jobs, boys." And there were quite a few people around the room who sort of looked at me and go, is that you, pointing at me. I said, yeah. So then I had to tell him, and he said, "I didn't realize it was going to be that big." But no, it's been terrific, and it's been a great education.
Excellent. Okay, Mark, I think we'll wrap it up there.
Thank you
very much.